السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. As always, we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Him, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I advise myself and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every single second of our life, if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. On a day like this, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this has been reported to us via an authentic narration and an authentic tradition, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ascends the minbar, the pulpit, he climbs up the minbar. And as he is climbing up the minbar, the Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, they observe and they hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying Ameen once, and then again Ameen, and then again Ameen, Ameen thrice. So later on they ask him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or as he ascended he informs them sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells them that you might have been wondering as to why I said Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. But it was because, and the narration goes along the lines of these words, Jibreel, Archangel Jibreel came to me and he made three prayers, three invocations, three du'as, and I capped off each du'a by saying Ameen. Now you have to understand that this is the greatest of angels, the most powerful of all angels, Aminul Wahi, the one who brings down Wahi to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is making dua, and who is capping off the dua? Not any ordinary mortal, not any ordinary human being. It was none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the three du'as were, number one, he makes a dua saying that the one, in other words, may his nose be rubbed in the dust, the one who attains the month of Ramadan and does not attain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May his nose be rubbed in the dust. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says Ameen. Dua number two. May his nose be rubbed in the dust. Who? The one who lived to see both his parents or one of his parents attain old age, and he does not attain paradise because of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says Ameen. The last dua. May his nose be rubbed in the dust. The one in whose presence you, Ya Rasulullah, you are mentioned. Your name is mentioned, and he does not send blessings and salutations upon you. Salawatu Rabbi wa salamu alayhi. The name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in your presence, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if he does not say salawat, if he does not send blessings and salutations upon you, may his nose be rubbed in the dust, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam capped off the dua by saying Ameen. In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with the companions, and he said, may his nose be rubbed in the dust, may his nose be rubbed in the dust, may his nose be rubbed in the dust. And this is an Arabic phrase, if you will, to denote the meaning, may he be doomed, may he be doomed, may he be doomed. The companions immediately asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, who are you talking about? Who is this unfortunate soul? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then clarifies, the one who lives to see his parents, both his parents attain old age, or one of his parents, either his father or mother, attain old age, and he does not attain paradise because of them. Perhaps because of not respecting them. Perhaps because of not looking after them. Not rendering his services unto them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. And this is the dua that I'm going to be touching on in the few minutes that I have with you all, insha'Allah ta'ala. There was once an individual from our Salafun Salih, from our pious predecessors. He was a scholar, and a group of his friends, his students, they go to meet him, and they were supposed to go somewhere with him. So they go to his house, and now they're waiting for him. They knock the door, and they're waiting for the sheikh to come out. Now he's late, and he comes out after a while, and they tell him, "Sheikh, we were waiting for you all this while." And then he responds, he's making an excuse for himself, obviously, as to why he got late. He says, "I was delayed because I was roaming. I was roaming and frolicking in the gardens and meadows of paradise. I was roaming, I was gazing, I was playing around in the gardens, in the meadows, in the lush gardens of paradise." Now the students were a bit amazed, and his friends as well. They all asked him, "Well, we see that you live in a very simple way and you're living in a mud house, and we don't see the gardens of paradise, so where were you?" He says, "Well, I was seated by the feet of my mother. I was seated by the feet of my mother, and I was in a conversation with her. I was looking at her smile. I was looking at her laugh. I was making her smile. I was telling her things. I was making her laugh, and I was roaming and frolicking in the gardens and lush meadows of paradise." Allahu Akbar. Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, a great imam, he was known as Faqih al-Madinah, the Faqih of Medina. He, whenever his mother would become upset or angry, and at times he was not the direct cause for his mother's anger, but still if his mother was upset or if his mother was angry, he would go out into the scorching sands of the desert, and he would place his cheek on the sand, and he would cry out, "Mother, until you come and place your feet on my cheek, and until you smile, I'm not going to lift my face off the ground." This is how much they loved their parents. This is how much they respected their parents. But we live in a time and an era where we put our wives ahead, we put our children ahead, we put our businesses ahead, we put our jobs ahead, way ahead of our parents. Our parents come down there. According to one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of our rights towards our parents, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have repeated, "Your mother, your mother, your mother," thrice, and then "your father." Scholars explain, because she bore you for 9 months. As you grew bigger and bigger in her belly, she bore you for 9 months. And then she gave birth to you. She almost tasted death whilst giving birth to you. That's the second instance. And finally, she breastfed you for a long period of time. So thrice, ummuk, ummuk, ummuk. You see, today we're all grown ups here. Obviously there are children, mashallah. But however old you become, there is this reminder that stares you right at your face, telling you the importance of your mother, and that's your belly button. Your belly button. Apart from the fact that it is a crevice that is very rarely cleaned, and this is a reminder again, because Islam is all about cleanliness, you should clean it once in a while. You know, the other day I was reading that there was a survey done by National Geographic where they had studied 60 belly buttons. They had studied 60 belly buttons, and they found species of bacteria inside those belly buttons that are only found in rainforests. SubhanAllah. It's beautiful in a way to think that certain aspects of our bodies are like rainforests. Very symbolic, but still Islam demands us to be clean. And it's important that we clean our belly button. Now that aside, it is a reminder what? Your relationship with your mother. When you can be an old individual, you can be 70, 80 or even 100 years old, but your belly button is still there looking at you. And this is a reminder that you were in your mother's womb. That umbilical cord that was connected between you and your mother
She was feeding you. Whatever she ate, a portion of it was going to you. She looked after you. She carried you for 9 months. Your mother. And today, you speak to her harshly. You know, another one of our Salafun al-Salih, Abdullah ibn al-Aun. One day he was seated, he was teaching. And suddenly his mother calls, "Ya Abdullah." And he responds, "Coming, mother. I'm coming, mother." And from that day onwards, he started to indulge in so many good deeds. He made so much of istighfar. "Oh Allah, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me." He fasted, he freed slaves. He did so many good deeds to make up for the mistake that he committed. And one might wonder, what did he do wrong? He just said, "Coming, mother." You know what he thought that he did wrong? He was seeking the forgiveness of Allah for raising his voice over the voice of his mother. Allahu Akbar. He responded, "Coming, mother." But he felt that he had shown disrespect towards his mother by raising his voice over the voice of his mother. Subhanallah. What about us? Let alone responding. We don't even respond. You see your mom calling, you silence the phone. Or nowadays the phone, you just have to turn it and notifications are all off. So you turn it the other side. You know the famous story of Juraij. The Prophet ﷺ mentions it. I'm not going to go into detail. This is a story from the nations of the past. He used to be a pious, righteous worshipper, Juraij. So pious, so righteous that no one had heard of such piety. And one day he's in Salah, he's praying. And then his mother calls, "Ya Juraij, Ya Juraij." She comes to where he's praying and she calls him. Now he's in conflict, he's in Salah. And he thinks, "My prayer or my mother? My prayer or my mother?" He's offering nafil, optional prayers. He was a person who used to offer excessive nafil prayers. He's in prayer. "My prayer or my mother? My prayer or my mother?" He's in conflict. He decides to go ahead with his prayer. His mother calls, 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 and she leaves. She comes another day, because perhaps she was living far away. She comes another day. "Oh my son, my beloved son Juraij." And he's in Salah again because he's such a pious person. Again he hears his mother, "My mother or my prayer? My mother or my prayer? My mother or my prayer?" He goes with his prayer. And a third time, she comes another day. "Ya Juraij, Ya Juraij." Again, "My mother or my prayer? My mother or my prayer?" And he goes ahead with his prayer without heeding the call of his mother. His mother is upset, his mother is heartbroken. And this is the case when our mothers grow old, at times they want us. They want our presence, just as how they were there for us, when they used to carry us, when they used to change literally our nappies. Whenever we could just cry out a little bit, "Wah," and they would be at our sides, checking on us, "Are you ill? Are you okay? Are you hungry?" But now she's coming, calling him, calling him, calling him, but no response. She prays, "Oh Allah," because she's hurt. She prays, "Let him not die until he sees the faces of evil women." You know, Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, Sayyid al-Tabi'een, the leader of the Tabi'een, he says that if one were to ask me as to whether worshipping Allah, in other words, nafil prayer, is more beloved to me or responding to the call of one's mother, I would choose responding to the call of one's mother. Why? Because nafil prayers is optional. Is optional. But answering or heeding the call of your mother is wajib, is obligatory. Now this is the fiqh. This is the understanding that these scholars had. In another report, there was a person who used to make excessive hajj. Now one year he was to go on hajj and his mother calls him and she says, "Son, don't go on hajj this year, I want you to stay by me." He's upset, he's heartbroken. "It's my practice, I have to go on hajj." He goes to him, to Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, and informs him. Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, says, "For me, your hajj is not beloved, but going and staying with your mother, that is more beloved to me. Because you have done so many, pilgrimages. Your hajj, the obligation is off your shoulders. Now what you're doing is optional, but staying by your mother is obligatory." In another report, his report was said that if your mother were to come to you and tell you, "Son, don't pray tonight," in the sense, nafil prayers. If you're a person who gets up for tahajjud and if you're a person who prays excessively, "Sleep a little bit because I want you to rest your tired body." And if she sees you fasting an optional fast, and if she were to tell you, "Son, I don't like to see you in hunger, you'd rather break your fast," Then Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah says, it is incumbent, it is mandatory, it is obligatory that you listen to your mother and that you leave the optional path. That you sleep a little bit to make her happy, because all of that is optional ibadat, optional voluntary acts of ibadah. But listening to your mother, putting her heart at ease, making her happy is wajib, is obligatory. وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. When Allah talks about ibadah, right after that Allah couples وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, the treatment of one's parents with excellence upon excellence. Coming back to the story, the mother, she prays, let my son not die until he sees the faces of evil women. Juraij, now he's in prayer, and people talk about his piety in the town, and there is this one evil lady, she has this superiority complex, if you will. She says, so what if he's pious? I can seduce him. And there was this wager, there was this bet that was placed. Okay, fine, go ahead, try your luck if you can. Try to seduce him. She goes and she does all what she can to seduce Juraij, but he doesn't fall for her trap. She's disheartened. On her way back to the town, she meets a shepherd and she indulges in fornication and adultery with that shepherd. After a period of time, she becomes pregnant, she delivers a child. She goes to the townspeople and says, this is the child of Juraij. You see, I told you I'll be able to seduce him. You know how beautiful I am. Here is the child of Juraij, the living proof. They were enraged. They were upset. What a hypocrite. He calls himself to be such a righteous person. They rush to his place of worship. They destroy it. And they drag him to the town square to flog him and stone him. He's crying out, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? They say, you indulge in fornication in zina with this lady. They take him to the town square. As they were dragging him, he's being dragged through the houses, rather, through the brothels, where prostitutes frequent. And all of these prostitutes come out and start staring at him. And then when he looks at their faces, he remembers the dua of his mother. Let my son not die until he sees the faces of evil women. And then he feels regret. He feels sad for not responding to his mother. But yet he's a pious person, a righteous person. They were about to stone him. They were about to humiliate him. He says, give me a few moments. I want to offer my last prayer. He prays. He makes dua unto Allah. He goes by the child. He pokes the child and he says, child, tell the people as to who your real father is. Who is your biological father? The child points out to the shepherd and says, he is my father. You are not my father. The people were stunned. They couldn't believe. Their eyes and their ears. They rush to him. They hug him. They kiss him. They apologize. They say, we're sorry we destroyed your house. Can we build it in gold back for you? He says, no. I don't need all of that. Just build it. Rebuild it back the way it is. The way it was in mud. And that would suffice. And he goes back to his worship. The point that needs to be highlighted here, the reminder at the end of the day, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. If you are a person who can now see that your parents have attained old age in your own lifetime, make sure that you secure paradise through it. Sadly, there are people, like I said earlier, who don't care about their parents. They've disregarded their parents. They've shunned their parents. Months have passed by, years have passed by, and they refuse. Their egos are in place and they refuse to go talk to their parents. What would be their case when they pass away and when they stand in front of the court of the Almighty? Put things right. If things have gone sour with your parents, don't hesitate, don't wait till it's too late. Put them right away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. With that I conclude, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins, to accept our good deeds, and to help us treat our parents with excellence upon excellence, to help us never ever to break the hearts of our parents, and to help us to attain Jannah, to attain paradise, through the du'as, the happiness and the pleasure of our parents. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wayan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.